All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say.
Again, Blog Talk Radio. This is Reginald Camper. I'm at Open 16. I play a song that every time I hear this song, I think about as a person with character. And I'm going to use that word again, character. What can you do about your character to make sure nobody can control your character? So when I heard this song, it stuck to me, and I love this song. So I'm going to play this song. I've been asking for requests. But anybody want to throw it on my Facebook page, you're more welcome, so we can have other songs to inspire us to move along. Election is 1 month away from us. So in 1 month, you're stuck for 4 years. So question, can you do something for one day to change your atmosphere for the next 4 years? That's up to you. So we're going to go through the line. I leave everybody's phone open. So if your wife hollered at you or if you didn't take out the garbage, we're going to hear it. So I leave everybody's phone open. I go by your first three numbers. If you'd like to say your name, that's more okay with me. I don't care. So I already know 403. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Reg. Good evening, everybody. That's why God invented basements and garages, for a husband to go hide from his wife.
Okay, Pat. And let's go to 865, your first three. Unless you want to say your name. 865, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Reg. Nothing to say this week.
All right. Today, normally the way we do it is anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome to talk about it. If you got anything on your mind you'd love to talk about, Pat usually give us an update on retirees. A lot of people don't understand what the retirees are going through, and they need to, because if you're going to retire one day, you're going to go through it. So if Pat want to give us an update, I got a lot of notes I'm going to run through later. And I'll run through my notes, but we'll start with Pat with the retirees, and then we'll go up and down the board, and then I'll run through my little notes. So, Pat, anything new or anything you'd like to say about it?
Nothing new on the court case. We're still holding, waiting, you know, to see what's going on. But I found an interesting tweet. I don't know if you read it. I put it on our site. The statement from Mayor Rahm Emanuel on the Republican health care plan. He put this on his tweet. What was it? 3/14/17. So, you know, it's not that old. It's a couple weeks old. Taking away health care for millions of Americans and raising costs on senior citizens in order to give millionaires and insurance company executives a $300 billion tax cut is wrong for the country. Contrary to our most fundamental values and hazardous to Chicago's health, more than 300,000 Chicago residents gained insurance as a result of the Affordable Care Act. This proposal would not only put their continued access to care at risk, it would eliminate funding for disease control measures, et cetera, that are vital to our public health. This piece of shit, after what he did to us for 3 years, he raised our health care insurance over $700 in 3 years and then finally dropped us. He had nerve enough to put this on his tweet thing. Unbelievable, Reg. Unbelievable.
Wow. You know, and nobody, I never seen it in the news, so nobody's not reporting it.
No, they won't, because the media is run by the 1%ers, the same people that run him. Yeah, everything's got a purpose. You know, once in a while, the newspapers lit something up, you know, just to you know, keep everybody interested. But everybody knows all the media is run by that 1%. And we got, you know, like the Reader and, you know, all the outcast media, but they never do anything. The only people you actually got is like people on YouTube that are trying to make a name for yourself that'll give a live interview, even if it's on their own phone. That's our media in Chicago. It's totally controlled.
I totally agree. 865, would you like to chime in on this?
I could verify all that information. I'm retired also, so I'm living through it myself.
You know what? You know your answers are real short, so I gotta keep you in tune because you remind me of Russell Simmons. Have a good night, and you know, thanks for coming. But 865, Pat basically is laying a layaway because I'm still working. And every time I go to work, I ask myself a question. What am I working for? My wife. And what am I working to get to? My future. If you guys, and even me, drop the ball, I have no future. So I'm not really working no more. I'm working in vain. And I tell so many people that I work with, I say, if you're working for your future and they give up everything that we work to get to, what are we working for? What are we really working for? So I respect you guys so much because it's up to you guys to keep us in tune as the present, but yet and still let us know we have a job to do as the present isn't working. So a lot of guys that I work with, they're not probably going to call the show. They don't care until the contract stick them right in the ass, and then they'll start calling. Or when the next election come and they get fucked real good, and then they'll call. But right now, it's just the retirees and the people that can see our future. And my future is I want to retire one day. I want a nice check, and I want my health care. I want to be treated with respect that I serve and I work 30 years. As a man, it's our goal to work 30 years or work something that a woman can look at you and say, he did a good job. So I respect that. So, 865, I like your short comments, but hopefully you can give us a little bit more of how you feel because I know you're holding it in. Let's go to some other callers. Pat, stay with us. Let's go to 569. That look like Dan the Man. What's up to the show, Dan?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Anyone working would like to retire kind of comfortable, and it's not working out that way. And these guys, Bob Cianelli and Smoke Ellis and Will Irving and Nikki Hayes, they're not helping matters. You know what I mean? They're negotiating in a way gains that we made over the last 20, 30 years. So how can you retire when you start at 19.50 an hour and you're disciplined for being 1 minute late for lunch? It's impossible. So they're in the movement with Emmanuel to get rid of all career service guys and then privatize and get high turnover rate with the general laborers where they don't contribute to the pensions or they don't make it 10 years, they pull their money out, and the pension fund will go insolvent in 2026.
I totally agree. And one thing that I learned about a lot of this, I've been on vacation for like 2 weeks, and I've been watching a lot of American Mob. And one thing that people can say negative about the mob, they did this, they did that. The mob made sure the city was honest. And now we have people in office that's worse than the people that were supposed to be taking care of us, that's actually screwing us. So I'm going, I hate to say it, I got to go on record on it because I said it. I wish the old guys were still back here because we never had these problems. So that's me, Reginald Camper, going on record saying it. The old guys made sure they treat us with respect. We had lunch breaks. I see people using a bathroom in the alleys. I'm not just talking about urinating. I'm talking little boxes going on the corners or putting garbage cans together to defecate. This is ridiculous. Is this the kind of society we're going to live in? Is this what we're going to be bowed down to? This is sad. Dan, stay here. I'm going to run up and down the board and introduce some more callers and just stay with us. Pat, stay with us. 865, you stay with us. I call your first three numbers. That's your name. Unless you would like to say your name. If you want to hear the show off air, 602-753-3017. You're more welcome to call. The name of the show is Open 16. You can type it in blogtalkradio.com/open16 and get it right off the internet. So I'm going to go to a new caller, but I keep everybody's phone open. The reason I do it because I believe in brainstorming. And this way, anybody can jump in and out. So let's go to 936. I want to say, welcome to the show, 936. Anything you'd like to say, you're more welcome to say it.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Tina Butler. I'm the former Sergeant-at-Arms of the Chicago City Council. I hope everyone I'm glad everyone accepts me on the show. That's all I can say.
Welcome to you. And the lines are open, so anybody want to jump in, you're more welcome. Pat, you got anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, going back to the Yelly and, you know, doing your business in the Yelly, I got a call one time, well, I was called in on. They turned around and said that I was out in the alley exposing myself and shaking it, you know, like a pervert. The thing is, I'm between two cans. I'm peeing. What am I supposed to do, pee in my pants? I wasn't shaking it. I wasn't showing anything. I'm not like that. And, you know, good thing, I mean, really, good thing the people, my bosses knew me, and they says, no way, you know. But that's how people are. If they got a bug up their ass, they're going to make a small story bigger because they got nothing better to do. Now, you're familiar with Tommy G from District 1, right?
Yep.
We used to work together in District 1. We both had the titles of laborers, acting clerks. But there was a change at the head, and every time there's a change, everybody gets shuffled around. So we wound up going to the ward. I made the arrangements ahead of time. I called the ward superintendent, nice guy, and I told him, I says, you know, me and Tommy want to come to your ward. We want to be in the same truck. We'll give you dynamite loads, and this is the route we want. And that's the route we got, and we gave him his dynamite loads. Well, one day there was an old couple at the end of the alley. They were cleaning up their leads. So we seen them doing it, and there was a large box, like from a wash machine delivery. So we dragged it down the alley, and we told them, just start pushing everything into the box. When we get down to the alley, we'll empty it for them. And, you know, when we got down there, they had the box filled up, and they had more yet. We dumped the box, we put it on its side, and we took the rake and the broom from them, and we cleaned up the rust. It took us like 2 or 3 minutes. You know, one of the neighbors called in on us and bitched about it. We got a direct call from the commissioner at the end of the day in the ward yard saying, you know what, I'm supposed to bitch at you guys, but you guys did the right thing. I mean, that's the kind of people that we had in charge, not only with the union, but the people downtown, the commissioners and deputy commissioners. You know, this crap didn't start until HDO walked in there and started muscling people. Every commissioner I ever worked for always had a good thing to say about the people that worked for them. I never had anybody say anything rotten about anybody. And now all of a sudden, all this shit's going on. And the same thing about the Ellies. I couldn't believe when you guys couldn't have a car. There's no way you could warm up. There's no way you could dry up. Your gloves are going to stay soaking wet all day. I mean, it's ridiculous. But that's the way they want it. That's your union, so-called union.
Hey, you know what? Pat, I'm going to piggyback real quick, and I'm going to go to some more callers. Warren, Dan knew it. My gloves got wet one day. So I put my gloves on the top of the heater, which all laborers do. I get out. A good laborer have a couple pair of gloves. So I put my extra pair on. So when they get wet, I rotate them. I get back in the cab. The driver tells me I turned the heat off because I don't want to smell them stinky gloves. So now they have the driver working against us. So it's more BS. And who are you to tell me that you cannot run the heat to keep my gloves warm? It's horrible, Pat. So let me run through the screen again. But, Pat, you stay near Dan, 865.
Reg, go ahead. Real quick. In the old days, you know how we combated a rotten driver? We pissed on the exhaust. You ever smell burning piss in the cab? Yeah, I'm not kidding, Tina. They had to run out of the cab. It stunk so bad. We didn't take shit from anybody. You know, you either work with us or you're going to pay the price. That's it.
Hey, duly noted, and I'll put a memo out tomorrow. everybody, your mics are hot. So anybody want to say something, you're more welcome to jump in. Only thing I ask is, let's all respect each other. So if somebody talking, jump in and get them to open it so they can just stop or jump back. So let's go to two new callers. and then we'd jump back in our conversation. 516. I do not say names. I only say numbers. 516. 516.
Good evening, everybody. How everybody doing? That's good. That's good. I'm just going to listen in for a minute, Reggie, because I joined in late. So I'm just going to listen in for a minute.
All right. Your mic is hot. If you want me to turn your mic down, if I hear a bunch of noise, I'll turn your mic down. But right now, your mic is hot. So let's go to another caller. I can, when you have a weird number, I can see it. So I don't care, but I respect that you did call in with a number. So if you call in with off the triple ones, I'm not going to acknowledge you. I'm going to actually disconnect you because I already know what you are, 1001. So I don't do that. So let's go to the next caller. 773-999s. That sounds like a good lottery number. 999s.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello? Hey,
yeah,
I can hear you.
I hear you.
I finally can call in. I don't have too much to say, but it's a lot going on. I'm not a laborer. I'm a payroll auditor. So I'm not a laborer, and a lot of people think that all laborers just are under 1001. That's not true. And so where we work, it's a lot going on. We filed a big grievance, and we'll see what happens. I really don't want to share that information right now because I don't know what's going on with it. But ever since I've been with this union, it hasn't been good for me. But I've been with the city, I think, about 27, 28 years. So I'm looking forward to just ending my career. You know, I have a couple more years to go, and just moving forward, we found out some other information that's going on with our department. They was paying someone overtime 100 hours or more of overtime. So we'll see what happens with that. And also, they put in for a promotion for this person. And so everyone was like, well, she's going to get the job. They're going to get the job. He's going to get the job. So it just is always tension where I work. So I think I have a few more gray hairs from it, but I'm okay.
And you know what, 999s, one thing about this show is you have people
what?
Like Christine Butler. You got the Pat, you got the Dans, you got the Joes. You got a lot of people that got a lot of time like you that might have an answer that can help you. And one thing that I always used to tell all my friends I used to work with, the frustration of the job makes you want to walk away from it, and it's stress. We don't need that stress in our life. So you're with a family that we all look out for each other, that share information. This is a show to share information. So if anybody like to speak to 999s, they're welcome to say something.
Yeah, I'll say something.
Well, welcome, 999s. And I'm sorry that everything is tension there, but just hang in there because, like Red said, we got your back if there's anything we can do to help the situation. I was never in union, but my husband, my son, everybody else is. So I come from a union family, and we sympathize with you because you're facing something that we didn't face. We were promised, but we're facing an uphill battle. We're in the Supreme Court right now with our health care stuff, and they just reneged on all the things that they were supposed to do, they didn't do. And as I always say, 12/23/2015, I will never forget the lawyer for 1001 standing up in court and saying, we do not support the retiree's position. So get all the answers you can before you decide to go.
Yeah. It was rough for me because about, I guess 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I was I was sexually being harassed at my job, sexually harassed. I went to the union. I received no help. only one who helped me was an employee. She since retired. It was Patty Young, and I owed a lot to her. And it was another investigator who helped me, because if she wouldn't have told me what to do, I would have lost my job. And I had been with the city then, I think, 24, 25 years. So I received no help from the union. And when I go, they deem me as I'm crazy, you know, don't trust her. And so the only thing I could do was fight back, and I had to file a discrimination lawsuit against the city with EEOC. And in that, EEOC ruled in my favor. So I'm not as crazy as they think I am. And I had
bless your heart.
Yeah, and I got my job back. But upon returning, it just by going on there again, not so much with me. We got some new workers, new auditors in, and now we found out that one of the people we work for, they've been giving her all this comp time, and now they put a job in the budget for her. So she's been telling people they owed her that job and everything. And so, you know, I'm the type of person, I don't want to say anything because I think karma is everything, but I don't feel that jobs should be promised. That's what the Trackman decree was about. So they promised her this job, and so now they put it in the budget for her. They lowered the standards so she'll qualify for it. So we all saying, well, I didn't apply for it. I had went on vacation. So when the job come out, I didn't apply, and it was the last day. And right before I left, when I come back, I got back late that night, so I didn't apply for it. We don't feel it's right that they promise jobs to people. Now, okay, you qualify for it, but a lot of us qualify for it. But I don't think a job should be promised to anyone. I don't.
No, I'm gonna jump in real quick. And then Dan wants to say something too. So Dan, you're next, and then I know Pat wants to say something, and then we'll go up and down the board. But I want to say this to you. I remember your case, and I don't think they can take me to jail or kick me off the ballot for talking about it because I never had nothing to do with it. But I remember your case. I was an intern, and I met you before. And when I met you, I understood your pain. And I remember the atmosphere you was working in. And I want to say one thing to you. The person that represented you, you have to question his ethics because he didn't represent you right. And you got to represent why he didn't push for a DFR, duty of fair representation. So a DFR means if I don't feel that I'm getting represented by my union the right way, I can file charges against my union. If you didn't feel that you was getting represented the right way, he should have told you that. But he didn't do it. So it's a lot of things we'll talk about in the future, but the question is this. I feel it's insane to go with the same thing every day and we don't change nothing. We have to change by the election. We have to get the people that don't represent us out. They got to go. So, Dan, I know you want to say something. I know Pat got something to say. So, Dan, you first, and then we'll run down to Pat. And I got two other calls. I'll go to them next.
Yeah, thank you. 999, I like to say, just call the IG tip line. Here's the number. It's 866. Hold on, I'll repeat it. 866.
Dan, hold on. Dan, she said, hold on. Give her a chance to get an ink pen.
Okay. Yeah.
And while you're doing it, I'm getting me an ink pen. Go ahead.
Yeah, this happens all the time with the city, and nothing is ever done. Workers just walk away. No, it's time for workers to start calling. This is supposed to be done. These aren't Shackman exempt jobs.
Hey, now, Dan, so let me ask you a question. Is this the IG for the city, or is this the IG for Washington? Washington has their own IG that overlooks international goods for Liuna.
I don't know. I have this number written down. It's been a while ago from one of your shows, so I didn't write down which IG it is, but call them and find out. Number's 866.
I'll check it out.
866-448.
Mm-hmm.
4754.
Thank you a lot.
Yeah, this happens all the time with the city.
Hold on, Dan, like let me repeat the number. Dan, let me repeat it. 866-448-4754?
Correct.
All right. Now, this is the IG, I assume, for the city. Now, remember, IG is for the city, and then they do have an IG for international in Washington to watch over the international for all the locals. So I will find that number for the IGs in Washington. So this way you can make a charge in Washington, and then the union have to go to Washington to file their complaint saying that you're wrong in Washington, because I do know about that. So I will, next show I will do that. Dan, you want to finish? I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, it's an 866, so I don't know what that means for an area code. So I have no idea if it's international or city.
All right. Triple Nines, you okay?
Yeah, you know what? It's just that we're tired of going to work so stressed out. You know, it's
I understand. I told
one hire, they giving her, because the manager kind of doesn't know what she's doing. They giving her a lot of extra duties while we sit there. We get a new system, and they do nothing. And she has the lowest seniority. And so we're sitting around, sitting all around, like, what's coming next? Because now they are computerizing a lot of this stuff, and it's new technology. So now we don't have as much to do, work to do as we did once before. So people are afraid that they've been with the city for a long time, you know, long-term employees, and they feel that they may get laid off because they bring in these new people. She brought her in. She knows computer a little better than we do, and, you know, because we just long-term, and she's younger than we are, so, you know, they more computer savvy than we are. So we
I'm going to say the statement real quick, and then we'll go to the lines, but when I was on the e-board, and this is why it's so important, it's election time. It's so important for us to understand who you're voting for and why you're voting for them. As an e-board member, I sit and I can listen and I can find out what's going on. Now, as an e-board member, there's a known fact that in your situation, I have bought a certain, I don't want to call no names out, which I don't have a problem with doing, but I'm going to say the whole e-board. I threw it to the e-board. Why is it that laborers cannot be trained at the center like the general laborers are, so we could be qualified doing forestry, CDOT, transportation? We have the same certification they have. Respond from Bob Schinelli. I'll throw his name out there. Bob Schinelli said it would cost too much. Now, here it is. Big salaries, big cars, all the stuff that the union rolled with. Everybody got a credit card in their pocket. They all, you know, they big flippers. But in your life, it costs too much to train you. So now you have general laborers that make less than you, saying that I am a skilled laborer versus an unskilled laborer. So now the city can use that same argument. We paying $36 for a unskilled labor, and for a skilled labor, we paying $19. What's wrong with that picture? So I blame my union for that. So I'm just going to run up and down the board. If anybody like to say something, you're more welcome to say it.
Well, can I just want to jump in here. I understand the budget, the line item, and all that stuff. The one that's presented in October never resembles the one that's passed. And they can't just put a job in there. It has to be in there already. It has to be vacant in order for them to promise. And I can tell you one thing. From my experience being with 40 years in politics and stuff, you don't shoot off your mouth and tell people that you're going to get an upgrade, because that's the fastest way not to get an upgrade. Because somebody goes around talking about me taking care of them, they're screwed, because I'm not taking care of nobody.
I totally agree. I don't think
you can just shove that line item. It's got to be in there. And you have every right to look at the budget book, look at your department, and see, get that title, and see if it's in there, and see if there's money appropriated next to it. Because if it is, they may be able to give it to her, but they just can't do it until January 1st of the following year, because that's when the new budget starts. So
I totally agree.
Hey, Reggie.
They
put
this
job.
Hold on, somebody
wants to
say something.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Hector Maldonado, and I just wanted to add this in there. If any of you, because I've been general labor now for 4 years, and I don't know how anybody else feels, but I feel like this regime, the union, since I've been here, it's like they do these deals or negotiate all these new things that we're supposed to do or that we can't do anymore. And it always feels like they're working for the city. Every new deal feels like it's what the city wants. You know, it doesn't even feel like they're making these deals for the laborers anymore. You know,
on top of that, Hector, that so-called union gives Tutu, the so-called mayor, $100,000. So what kind of shit is that? They're supporting the enemy. You don't support the enemy. That's who you're supposed to be fighting for your membership, to better their lives and their families' lives.
Yeah, well, look, I was in a meeting with the union, and they were asking general laborers, what do you guys want out of this negotiation? When we asked what we want to raise, you know, bring us up to 36, they straight said, no, we can't do that. But then when I asked, well, are you going to get the laborers a raise? Oh, yeah, we're going to try and get them a raise. So I asked, well, how is that possible that you're going to try and tell us you can't bring us up to 36, but you want us to believe that you're really going to go in there and negotiate another raise for the laborers when you already undercut their value by creating our title? And pretty much, like I said, giving the city everything they want in this title. So the best thing they can do out of this negotiation is to go in there and make one title all across. Make it back to labor and tree trimmers. Because I really don't see how they're going to go in there and try to negotiate anybody a raise. You know, so those are...
Well, first off, they can't do it. It's a contract. If it's a contract, the only way to change that contract is in court. I mean, no matter what anybody says, that's the truth on it. Now, the regular labor's contract, it might run for 4 years or something like that, you know, and they're due for this negotiations. But, you know, it's all
ours ends at the same time. The general labor contract
thing
ends at the same time.
Well, then, but I don't understand the agreement then and why they can't
it just added, you know, a little side contract to the one that's established right now, you know, and then the 20-year pay scale was just to show what it would be 20 years. But according to the union, that contract is up. Our contract is up at the same time. So everything's going to be renegotiated together. So if there are raises or not raises, it's going to be all across the board. But to me, I just feel like if we keep the same people in there, we're going to get a lot of the same thing back, which is whatever's best for the city, not what's best for us. You know, and I'm planning on trying to run. You know, May 4th I will be up there. I'm trying to get myself on the e-board because, like Reggie said, you know, the only way that we're going to be able to stop any of this is by – being in the middle of it, you know, trying to make sure that we get a better end of the, you know, deal this time. Because every time, it's the city who gets the bigger slice of the cake.
Well, Hector, can I jump in here 1 second? First of all, you said you've been in labor, no disrespect, 4 years. So you came in after Mayor Emanuel was in there. Now, when they negotiated the contract, they put what from what I understand what you're saying, they added, they put an addendum on the contract. And that contract, if they negotiated it with the city, they it had to go before the finance committee. And I would find out if that contract has an addendum on it and what it actually says. Because they signed one contract, you went in under one contract, and then they changed the rules in the middle of the game, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, well, we're under the
let me jump in. Hold your thought. To jump in as an e-board member, and this is why it's good to have somebody sitting at the table. The smartest man in the room, he wrote a paper called MOA, Modified Agreements. Modified agreements is not a contract. Modified agreements is it's an agreement with the local in the city until the contract opened back up. So the smartest
right.
man in the room agreed to this. So we have a modified agreement to the general labor rule. So that's what it is. So you can start the conversation back up, but anything I know, and that's why we have to have somebody that's not scared of the smartest man in the room, because the smartest man in the room thinks he's been there, and he always brags. I did five contracts. Are you happy with them? So it's an MOA, modified agreement.
And then
right. So it's not a contract.
Yeah.
It's an agreement until the mm-hmm. contract opens.
Right.
And back to what I wanted to say was that general laborers and laborers have to work together, because in my position, I'm a general laborer, but I don't want them to get rid of any title like laborers or tree trimmers, because to me, that's like I'll never be able to get there. You know, I don't see myself to be able to get to that, you know, wage that you guys are at, because they're eliminating those positions. And I've never heard of a union that purposely eliminates positions or, you know, actually working titles. This is the only union that I know of that has eliminated working titles and just created a separate one, you know, to basically give the city what they wanted.
The unions gave him a lot of money to campaign for his campaign. The unions gave him a lot of money. Every time you see him standing up and they're talking about another project, that the union heads are standing all behind him. So if you that's where you get your information from, by standing there and looking at all the people that are standing behind him.
You know, I'm gonna just on with that is they're giving him a lot of money, plus they're giving a lot of alderman money as well. When you go to the meetings, they're always talking about what connection they have with the alderman. We connected with the alderman, so that lets you know that they're in bed together. You know, why would you sit and say, oh, you know, we went to the alderman and this and bragging about it to your members. So that, to me, that rings bells in my head that they're in bed with these people. You know,
The one problem I have with the alderman and a lot of people that does sanitation on this line, the alderman really stuck it in a thumb in their behinds, because here it is, you have a resident that just moved out, a person died, and you can have bed bugs, any kind of situation. Now you don't have that luxury of calling your alderman and saying, hey, I need a special pickup. Can you bring a garbage truck over here? You don't have that because all the trucks move in packs like wolves, and nobody comes back to cater to the alderman's needs. So that's something the aldermen need to be questioning. Why did you get on your knees and lay down to Ron Emanuel, just like we're doing with the same thing with 1001? Why are all the e-board members laying on their knees for the whoever's in charge was the business manager? So we have to find a way to get people to get off their knees. I'll go back to you. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Oh, yeah. I just think that they're in bed together, and they brag about it. And like you said, I was in another union and asked me, and I see a big difference versus, like, for instance, with AFSCME. When they ratify their contract, you have to vote on it. So they have their members, they say, and we all know how it's done. They have somewhere where you go and you vote to whether you want to ratify this contract or not. From what I've seen with this union, they just do what they want. I remember last time when all this was going on, they had it where they would lay me off. But anyway, they have furlough days, and most of the union wanted people to get laid off, and they didn't want furlough days, from what my understanding was. But neither here nor there is that you need these people out. They serve no purpose but their own.
And you know what?
And to
Mr.
add
Hector,
to that,
go ahead.
To add to that, I'd just say, like what she's saying, her, you know, she has some legitimate, you know, concerns, and I guarantee you, probably everybody on this line that's hearing this has probably gone to their union and talked to their union about some type of concern that they might have, and instead of talking to you like they work for you, because that's what they are, they work for us, they talk to us like they're doing us a favor, you know, and
yes.
I'm tired of having to talk
you're right,
to them Hector. And telling them something, and they're talking to me like, you know, hey, I'm going to do you this, or I'll check in. No, you work for me. You take money out of my check. When I do overtime, you get extra money that I don't think you should, but you get it.
Right.
And then to be talked down to by someone that I'm paying to work for me, I can't, you know, I'm done with that. I hate going to these meetings because anytime you want to bring up a concern of yours, they want to shut it down. Like, oh, no, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. And the point is that we're paying so they can hear these things and so they could go and change these things or negotiate a change in these things. There's no reason why anyone in the union to feel threatened by anything about losing a job or, you know, losing their title to someone else. Any of those concerns should be addressed right off the bat. They shouldn't try to push them aside and try to make you feel like, oh, you know, you're just whining or complaining.
But
that's
the thing is,
for.
You pay the union. You pay the union. The union works for you. You don't work
that's
for
right.
the union. They work
and
for
that's
you.
How it should be.
It's time
exactly.
for everybody to stand up and get rid of these people. I mean, you know, these other people that are coming in, if they make it in, you don't know what you're getting, but you already know what you've been through. All the disrespect. There's no honor. They'll steal from you. And when they steal from you, they're stealing from your family, from your kids. The shit you want to do for your kids and your wife and all that, you can't do it because of what they're doing to you. I mean,
right.
they work for you. You pay them. It's not the other way around.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, that's true.
They're driving big fancy cars. They're paying for offices. They're paying for staff. They're getting a paycheck. They get credit cards to do union business. That's all coming out of current dues right now. That's what I was encouraging people to do is to call their union, call their VAs, call whoever at their union and ask them, see, you know what, I'm looking at retiring in a couple of years. What are my benefits going to be? Or can you anticipate what I'm going to be looking at for my health care or whatever. We got screwed because I came in between 84 and 89. And when you came in that early, they didn't take Medicare. They mandated it in 1989. They wouldn't let us participate in Medicare because they said we're already in a health care program. So when it came for time for me to retire, the Social Security Board told me I didn't have enough quarters. I wasn't allowed to participate. I would have paid it in addition to my pension. Thank God that somebody on the CWPP site told me to go and apply under my husband's Social Security. And thank the good Lord, I went and I don't pay $1,200 a month, which would have been $1,400 and 66 $1,466. Who makes that kind of money? They could afford to pay $1,500 a month for health insurance.
Wow,
and
that's
good Lord.
They don't want anybody to retire because it's not good. It's not good for the city right now who, you know, they don't have that pension funded enough for the people that should be retired right now. If they were to retire, that would bankrupt the city because they don't have it funded the way they should. And it's not because of the laborers' fault. You know, everybody knows whose fault it is. But then every time they put something out there, even our own unions, they want to make it seem like we're the ones that should take the cuts. We're the ones that should do the sacrifices. And it shouldn't be like that. You know, a lot of people are waiting to retire because they don't know, you know, what's going to happen.
Hey, Hector, let me jump in real quick. Share a little bit insight for everybody on this show. You attended the secret meeting of General Labors. Now, I'm an e-board member, and I was not invited to this secret meeting 2 days for General Labors. Can you share the environment, a little bit of the conversation, or just how you felt? Can you share any of that with us?
Well, to me, it just felt basically like we want your votes, and we're gonna fight for you now, or we're trying to look out for your best interest now. You know, they're asking us, what do we want? What do we want out of this contract? And it's a slap in our face because we've been telling them for 4 years what we want. We've been telling them, you know, every time we gotten a chance, what we want. So for them to hold a meeting to ask us, it just shows you like that they don't care. They're just going through the motions. They just want to, you know, make it seem like, oh, yeah, we care. As soon as they get the vote, as soon as they get back in there, it's going to be another 4 years of not listening and neglecting. You know, that's how it feels. All they wanted to know was, you know, oh, well, what kind of things are you guys looking to get out of this negotiation? You know, and even when people would say we want something, they still want to kind of shut it down. Like, no, well, we can't get you that. We can't get you. Then what are we here for? What are we paying you for if you're not going to, you know, shoot high? You're not going to try and get us the most. You know, everybody should be getting the most out of their union. I'm not saying they'll get
you
us $100 an hour, but
it
doesn't mean that they shouldn't try to.
Excuse me.
And
you just said the magic word. You work for us. We pay you. That's exactly what they need to hear. We pay you. You drive your big cars. You have your office because you're on our backs. So what are you going to do for us? And if they get knocked out and you got 4 years, another regime, then you got another election, you get them out too. But what's going to happen when a new mayor comes in?
But the thing is that this election is more important just because of this contract negotiation. Because if they get back in there, they could screw us over for, you know, past these 4 years. It's not just going to be these 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why you want to get them out now. You want to start a coalition to get them out. So if you say you're running, you need to get with someone else who's running or who I was thinking about running. Or whomever and meet, because now you have only a certain amount of time. It can be done, but you really need to work hard because they already, a lot of people saying, well, you know, well, we don't know what we're getting. They've been in there two times already, and they screwed up everything.
But they know. They know what they're going to go in there and try to get, and it's going to be something that's beneficial for the city once again. It doesn't feel like
hey, you know what?
It feels like they work for them.
And I'm going to throw this out there real quick.
What they want.
I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Think about this, Hector. They give you pizza at the meeting. They give you bags every year, over $9.6 million a year. And that's an old estimate. If I go on a computer now, it might be higher. $9.6 million every year, and you get a bag. I remember back in the days, they used to give us a $25 car that you can go to Dominick's and buy anything you want. So now they lure you down to nothing. I came from the projects with the block of cheese. I call this the block of cheese life again. They give you a block of cheese, and then they give you a bag and tell you we're going to save your life. This is ridiculous, man. So, Hector, I applaud you. I think you should run. I think Triple Nines, you should run. You should come up to the meeting. And it's not about losing. It's about putting your name out there saying you want change. Because it's, believe me, there's other people that want change. Dan, I know you've been holding on. You want to say something.
Well, yeah, what I've been hearing is absolutely right. These guys have done nothing. Chinelli's been in there since 1996. He's been appointed. I don't know. He didn't run last time, so he's appointed recording secretary. He's been on contract for years. Same with Will Irving was defeated last time, and now they appointed him as a contractor, so he can try and collect his union pension on top of his coordinator
pension.
So these guys are there to self-enrich, and I'm glad the general labor see it, because it took some laborers 20 years to see it, but it's taken general laborers a lot quicker because they're seeing what's going on, and it doesn't look good.
And I'm going to say this.
No,
for Ron Ross, a lot of people ask me a question. How did this happen? What made this happen? Ron Robinson won by one vote. One person came out to vote for him and made him win the election. One vote. But Ron Robinson was so evil, he decided to fire his whole slate and get with James Crew so he can be in office the rest of his life making a big fine. They convinced Ron Robinson, they get him a commissioner job. He decides to do a crooked deal for a website over $50,000 a year. And they burnt his ass. After he did the deal, they blackmailed him and got him out of office and put all their crew back in office. That's how the deal went down. Now, if 1001, I know you listen to the show, because I know you do. Prove me wrong, because I have emails. I have the emails of the person that did the website of the phony minority bid. So they snuck their way back in, but you can't be mad at them. If I was a person to roll with Dan, I'm going to make sure I'm going to take care of Dan. They took care of their own. So we have to realize, is it about us or them?
I'll also add to that.
Reggie.
Made us strong.
They bumped him. What happened again? I didn't understand that.
Give me a call. We'll talk, because I know because of time ticking, but give me a call
okay.
And I'll break it down to you. But Hector, want to jump in? I know Dan. I heard Dan's voice want to jump in. Remember one thing.
Go ahead, Dan.
Everybody got to read the Constitution. According to the Constitution, if whoever you vote in as business manager controls everything. So you got to understand, whoever you vote for business manager, you vote for them to control it. So go ahead, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget the guys that are in that, that got elected, like Victor Roa, he ran on a reform ticket. If that was me, I ran on a reform ticket, and I was surrounded by Smoke Ellis, I would resign after 4 years. I wouldn't run for re-election. We'll see what Victor does. Is Victor a real reformer, or is he in with them? If he runs for 4 years, he's in with them. Same with Frank Arullo. He ran on a reform ticket. Now, if I was Frank Arullo or Victor Roa, and these guys got in, after I ran on a reform ticket and got elected, there's no way I would run with them again. No way in hell. But we'll see what happens with Frank Arullo and Victor Roa. We'll see if they're reformers.
Hey, throw the whole slate of members for choice. The whole slate for member choice. Throw the whole slate in there. Because everybody ran for member for choice. We was supposed to change everything that we was seeing. Now, here it is, general labors. We all agree that gotta be changed. Here it is, the wellness program. We can even vote that out. So everything has to be changed. And even me, if I can't get things changed, change me, because I can't get it done. Reginald Camber couldn't get it done. But Reginald Camber is the person that sits on that table that we talk about all the time to at least make them ask the question. And then it comes to a vote, and that's how you find out about it. Because if you don't have nobody at that table, you're done. Time is ticking against us. So, go ahead. Somebody want to say something.
Two things. So one thing is, we do need to get someone in there that's at least going to keep our best interests, you know, alive, because even now that they're starting to charge for these garbage pickups, we need someone that's going to be there trying to figure out and make sure that that money is being used where it should be getting used. And it's not just going to end up getting disappeared, or somehow there's just, you know, millions of dollars that are disappeared. They don't know where. And then they blame it on the laborers. And the second
that's
thing
so
is,
we have to
just from the
asking
time
for the Department
from the
of
time
Justice
that I've been
to come
here,
in here. Department
they need
of
to be investigated
in
all these funds.
Yeah, with forensic auditors that can go through those numbers and go through those line items, because, like I said, that original budget book that comes out that everybody clamors for the first day that comes out so they can see what's there, it doesn't resemble closely at all what is finally passed. And it passes
yeah
real fast, so people don't get a chance to look at that. However, they're making a change supposedly now where people will be able to come into the city council meeting and testify and ask questions. But that's the problem. These are open meetings and nobody comes there.
We also got to go back to the time where – go ahead.
Hey, Hector, hold the thought for 10 seconds. It's 6:01. I'm going to go overtime. Now, overtime means I go over a little, and we'll talk a little bit more, then we're going to shut it down. But I'm going to throw this down to overtime. I want everybody to have something to say. But, Hector, I'm going to throw it to you for a second, then we're going to go back to the board, and then we're going to talk for a little longer for 30 minutes. But I want to say this to you, Hector. You was in a meeting, and they basically told you sanitation labors was nothing, and you guys was better than us. So I'm going to give it to you first, and then I want you to throw it back to the audience. And Pat, Dan, 865, you haven't said nothing. 516, you haven't said nothing. So I'm going to throw it back for 30 minutes. But, Hector, tell me about that meeting that you was in, that you, the president now told you as general laborers you are better than the laborers that are here because you guys are skilled laborers now.
Yeah, well, that's what they try to, you know, pretty much insinuate. Like, well, why is this only open to general laborers, you know? And they said, oh, well, this only has to do with you guys, you know. And it was basically just, from what I know, it was mostly forestry laborers, you know. But to them, we're skilled, but we're not skilled enough where we can vote on our own contracts or vote on our own, you know, on passing things. If we're supposed to be skilled, we're supposed to be able to vote on these things before they get passed. But, you know, it's only when it's convenient for them. And what I wanted to do was, instead of, you know, since I've been here, I've noticed that it's gotten harder and harder every year, you know, to basically stand up for yourself, even at work. You get harassed a lot easier now. Before, you were able to call somebody and have them go out there and have your back. Now, you don't hear anything. You call your union, they're probably trying to talk you into, you know, the same thing that's going on with your supervisors or, you know, RCCs. Mm-hmm. Whatever problems you're having, you know, it's not, you don't call your union to get it fixed anymore. You call your union and it's almost like they're telling you the same thing. You know, nobody's sticking up for us anymore. Harassment, you know, has been going on even more now because they just don't care. You know, they're working with them.
And now I'm gonna throw this to the board, but I want to say one thing before I throw it to the board. I have had a general laborer come to me and told me he was in forestry. He got into it with management because he didn't want to work overtime. They have mandatory overtime. So he didn't want to work the mandatory overtime. Now they threw him in garbage, but he has more time than people that's in forestry. So he asked me, could I file a grievance? I said, hey, call the union. I'm not there no more. He called the union. The union told him, since he denied the overtime, they have a right to fulfill the overtime and throw him back on garbage. So this is the union we're working with. So, everybody, mic is open. Don't let us take over the conversation. Hector, I appreciate you calling because I know you got to go somewhere with your daughter. So anytime you want to leave, you're more welcome to. And if anything you want to close out with, you're more welcome to. But we're going to stay on for 30 more minutes just to talk. So anybody want to say anything, you're more welcome to talk about it.
Thank you.
Can
very
I
much.
Just say one thing? Hector, you sound like a real sharp guy. And you seem to know what's going on. You caught on really, really quick to all that stuff. So if you're going to run, good luck to you. I wish that I was a union member that I could help you somehow. However, you tell 10 people, if those 10 people tell 10 people, and those 10, and it keeps going on and on and on, and that's how you get the word out. But
thank you,
you
I appreciate
sound
it.
Like the type of guy that they need there, especially the currents, the young guys. The young men and women that come on need somebody like you that have been there and done that.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes.
Really appreciate it.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
And,
and you, 999, you should run too.
Yes, I
they need
you know,
women.
I've been contemplating it, and so I think I'm gonna throw my hat in there. And you never know what happens if you don't throw your hat in. You never know what would happen. So I'm really thinking about it. So yeah, I think.
Well, good luck to you.
And thank you. And I think you need people who are not thirsty for money, who are in search of prestige and just want to really do a good job for hardworking people. You're from the struggle. You know, it's hard out here. And you go and you want people who will represent you. Not
that's supposed to be about.
516, you want to say something?
No, sir.
Dan, you want to say anything?
Yeah, I mean, every show you have, Reggie, there's a new revelation about our union, something that they did to screw people over. And, you know, I'm trying to keep a list. I'm running out of paper. I'm telling you, I've got a list. It's unbelievable what these guys give away. We don't get sick days. They cut our holidays. Don't forget, Will Irving was in there when they cut, and she and Ellie, when we took the 24 furlough days from 2008 to 2010. 24 furlough days and 16 unpaid holidays and no overtime but comp time. This is what these guys did. And they have the nerve to tell you they were going to represent you. Well, please vote these people out for your own good. Not only for mine, I want them out, but for your own good. Because this may happen again.
Now, I wasn't here when that happened, but did they take any cuts like that?
No, they still had their union job.
No, they got...
Well, you know what? One thing you guys have to understand, by me having this show, ask yourself this question when we leave today. Streets 1001 was our original show. Bob Cinelli owns that now. After I got my job, they made me get rid of the show, and he bought the show. So the question is this. It's about information. Information is power. It's not about just money. It's information. If everybody understand how the game works, everybody will understand how the game is played. Now, 9.6 million dollars, we just can't blame 1001. We got to blame where that money going. It's going up the ladder to the district council, to international. It's going to the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to Ron Emanuel. We have to fight where the money's going. And it's about me. Destroy me as a character. Destroy the people that listen to me. Destroy me as this guy that's talking shit on the radio. He's hanging with a lot of losers. Destroy me. So it's about information. Information is power. We have to fight the information. Time is ticking against us. So check this out. There's a lot of people here. I'm going everybody to say something. Everybody take 2 or 3 minutes. I know Hester said he's going somewhere with his daughter. So you can tell he's a family man. So I'm going to let Hector go first, and then we're going to go up and down the board. Say anything you would like to say on your closing goodbyes. Hector, you go first. 454.
Well, I just want to say, from my understanding, is that we don't really have sick days. Those days that we use as sick days are our vacation days. And this is after Rahm Emanuel made it that everybody that works in the city has to accumulate sick days. But yet they don't give that to the laborers that work for the city. You know, how come we don't get that? Why can't we accumulate sick days instead of using our vacation days as sick days? But like I said, go out there, vote. You know, it's all about getting new people in there. And like I said, something
hey, look,
is better than what we've had before.
And you know what? On your closing note for Hector, you plan on running. I think you would be an excellent e-board member. You need to sit
I
at the table
so
for the city.
So,
Hector,
yeah.
I would love for you to come May 4th, and I personally would nominate you for an e-board member.
Thank you, Reggie.
Hector, you understand it. You got it going on, and you're young. You're there 4 years, and you got it going on. So,
and trust me, it was a
they
hard
need
four
someone
years.
Like
it was 4
you.
Years of probation, and it was not easy.
Yeah, I know, because I'm old now, but I was young, too, at one time. I started, my husband was a G-man years ago. He started as a garbage man. So I understand, and my family's all union. I was the only one that had to worry every 4 years about my job. I was fortunate. I got to retire, but I was not fortunate with the health care and with the and they were working for COLAs. The currents benefited from getting cost of living raises, cost of living adjustments, and didn't even realize who got it for them. The city workers, past and present, got it for them.
Yep.
And they didn't even know it. It showed up on their checks. They got retro checks. Oh, yeah, yippee. It's Christmas. But somebody had to fight for that. I didn't even know what was going on. And I'm ashamed of myself because I was right in the middle of that and didn't
totally
see it coming.
But you know what? Even though I am young, I still need to try and change that because I'm going to be at that age, that retirement age, and I want to make sure that I can retire, that I don't have to deal with these problems. So
that's
you shouldn't
right.
have to deal with those same problems. There's enough money and there's enough, you know, of us as laborers to be able to take care of ourselves and each other when it's time for retirement. There shouldn't be anything that, oh, you guys got to take cuts on this. You got to pay so much. It shouldn't be that you guys have to be paying so much when you already did your part by working, doing, you know, your minimum, putting into the pension. That should be enough. There's enough money with charging the carts. Yeah.
Hector, you're talking so good. I know Pat loving this. But hold on, Hector, because I know Pat loves to retire. And you know what? It's not we can get some of the young guys to feel the way Pat feels. So just give me a minute, Hector, to run up the board, and then we'll come back to you. All right, Hector? So let's go to 999s real quick. 2 minutes.
I know it's time for change. And we've had this regime for 8 years now. We shouldn't give them another 4 years to screw us over. They screwed us over enough. You can't go to them. I remember when I was going through all this at work, and I told Bob Chanelli something, and he went back and told the managers. They would never listen to what I had to say. I felt like I was in it all alone, unless I had other people to help me. I was in it all by myself, and no one should feel that way. You pay union dues. This is the most expensive union dues from what I've seen in the city. And you get nothing in return for it. They're driving around in nice cars. They're making $100,000 a year, these board members. And I remember one time when they first was elected, one of the ones that sits on the council, I think, she didn't know what was going on. I don't know. I was just there. And now she's making $100,000 a year. That's bull crap. For what?
And you know what? I totally agree. Put your phone on mute, or I'll mute you because it's a couple other callers. And I'm going to say this one thing. Bob Cinelli have been in there since, like a caller said, 1996. He's a person of interest, the smartest guy in Local 1001. He's the smartest. And that's something I say honestly. He knows how to run the local. But who do Bob Cinelli work for? Do he work as an associate for Amherst crew, or do he work for Local 1001 membership? That's something we have to ask ourselves. I've been watching the outfit, and the question is, if I'm fear of my life, God, give my life to you, because I'm not fear to give my life for others. Bob Cinelli works for the members, and he needs to know that. So let's go to some other callers. 999, stay here. And, Hector, I'm going to come back to you on our closing. But 516, you've been quiet. Our goodbyes, 2 minutes.
No comment, Reggie. Everybody has said enough. I mean, we all on the same wavelength. So I'm going to let everybody else and all the new people say what they need to say, because I'm excited that some new people actually call. So I'm going to just listen to the show is over with.
All right. You hang around and call me after the show if you need to. 936.
Yeah, well, like I said, I talk too much anyway. I know that. But I was at the hall for 25 years, and I saw the change. I'm ashamed that I saw those meetings going on. But the people, the public can participate in every single meeting, every single budget hearing, every single finance meeting, every single committee that exists. I send an individual has the book of rules of the standing committees, what their responsibilities are, who the chairman are, who the members are. So if an issue comes up that you want to address, you either go to the meeting or you find out about it. It's on. It's streamed. They stream them live. You can watch it and know what's going on. But that's the way you get the change, is by watching what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because it's like a shell game. You know, what walnut shell is to pee under? And they keep moving them. So you just have to watch and want and listen, because you'll know who's sincere, and you'll know, because you got your gut to tell you who's full of it and who's actually working for you.
Let's jump to Dan. Dan, after you, it comes my guy Pat, and then after Pat, I'm going to close out. I'm going to throw something at Hector, and we out of here. Go ahead, Pat. I mean, no, Dan.
Okay, Reggie, it was a great show. Thanks for having us on. And, well, I'm sure we'll hear something new about the union next, that we haven't heard about our union leadership next Monday.
All right, I appreciate it, Dan. And let's go to Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I want to apologize for earlier for hollering and screaming at my dogs. I just got done finishing the door that she scratched up, because if I got to close the door, she wants to get in the office. You know, I mean, three coats of stain and three coats of polyurethane, and it scratched up again in one day. So I want to apologize for that. But, yeah, like I was saying, these people got to realize. I mean, okay, granted, you got, what, 5-6 people here? Where the hell is everybody else? Like I said a million times, they're not only screwing you people, they're screwing your families, they're screwing your kids. In my case, they're screwing my grandkids. There's stuff I wanted to do with them that I cannot afford to do with them now. They screwed up everybody, the union, the city, all of them. Get rid of them all.
And you know what, Pat? I want to say one thing to you. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Christy Butler. Thank you, every caller. I want to go down the names. I want to say thank you to everybody, because this show is not about me. It's about exposing. And everybody has enough courage to say, hey, I'm willing to talk about it. So I want to say thank you to everybody. And election is right around the corner. And we know we know that they don't want to pay teachers. They don't want to pay teachers nothing. So if they don't want to pay teachers, you think they're going to give a garbage man a raise? You know, so understand that we're in a serious fight. And understand that one day you're going to retire. You can't live forever. You're going to retire. So when you retire, isn't it best to fight now while you're young and healthy? Or wait, that you cannot fight because you don't want to stress yourself out. You don't want all that going, catching the buses to court cases. Pat, you're doing a beautiful job. You're always going to be my big brother. I'm going to call you later on because I need to talk to you about something. But this show is our show. It's not Reginald Camp. It's our show. So every Monday we're here. So if anybody want any last comments, you're more welcome to say it before we leave.
I just want to thank you for letting me come on. Because like I said, I'm not union. I am retired. But Pat, like you said, Pat is the engine that's driving that train. That's all I got to say. He's the engineer in the cockpit there driving that train. Because otherwise nobody would know anything. If it wasn't for you and Pat, these people wouldn't know anything. But like I said, one person tells 10 people, those 10 people tell 10 more people, and that's how you get the word out. It's not that hard. But, Hector, you got it. You get it. And you're young. But you realize that someday you're going to be in our shoes. And you're going to try to make sure you don't and your colleagues now don't get screwed in the future. But see, when I was 30, I wasn't thinking about being 65. I was working. I was raising kids. I was paying into my pension, paying my health care. Did I ever think they were going to screw me like that? And people now that don't even get enough money on their retirement checks to cover their health care? How fair is that?
Anybody else on our way out the door?
Vote them out. I say let's vote them out.
And I'm totally with it.
999. Stay on the line because when he close out, I want you to listen to the song he plays.
And you know what? You know what song I'm going to play? And I'm going to say this. I was feeling real depressed one day. And my big brother sent me a song. And after I listened to the song, it was a very beautiful song. And I'm going to play it right now, going out the door. Hold on, give me one second.
Thank you.
And every Monday we hear. Every Monday. Hold on, give me one second.
Just don't hit Smoke Ellis again.
You know what? I'm trying to get the song up. I'm having problems right now as we speak. You know what? We might not get a chance to hear it.
28 cranes. There's 28 cranes out there on that mountain.
You know what? I might not be able. Hold on. Give me a minute. All right, hold on. Here it comes. All right, y'all ready? I want to say thank you for everybody for attending.
Thank you for letting me.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sound. While they're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution now. Poor people gonna rise up, church, yeah. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. But a revolution. It's finally the table are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, I've been standing in the welfare line, crying to the doors of servers, armies of salvation. Wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, and finally the table are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Finally the table are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution.
I want to say thank you once again, and you know what? We're totally into a revolution. Thank you, thank you, and I'll see you next Monday. And this show was actually cast in Mississippi. So I'm in Mississippi enjoying it. So, and take care. I'll see you guys when I get back to Chicago.
I appreciate it. Good night.
Take care.